of the Living Geek.
Oh, this is the thing I've been looking for. Holy shit. Yes.
Is it your dignity?
No, no, that's gone forever. This is, I RSVP'd for a wedding and then lost the invitation, and I just found it underneath a pile of things.
Oh, that's
so
useful.
I'll be able to go. I had the date, but not, like, the time or the location. No. Are you already recording?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Because I gotta say, I mean, you and Brian talk about, like, what you're drinking before. Like, before we start recording, you guys talk about, like, what you're drinking. And I usually am not drinking anything. I'm just usually drinking water. But no, I've got alcohol with me today.
You better pour some out for Michaela.
I feel like my favorite players. I want second chances already. Just from the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I want Michaela and Sydney to be ride or die homies. That's what I want more than anything, Nick.
Sydney at least was in. Up until the end, like, I think she was what? Yeah, it's not a big deal. This is, she didn't even get to the, Michaela, that is, didn't even get to the merge, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the thing I'm most upset about. I mean, we'll talk about it more when we get there, but I am most upset about the timing of this. He couldn't have waited. Like, this could have happened 1 week later.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably wouldn't have happened 1 week later, but I'm most upset that this means we will not be getting Michaela Ponderosa videos.
Well, I feel kind of cheated out of her jury speech.
Oh, yeah, that too would be great.
Oh, my God, that would have been amazing. Everything she said in this season has been gold. She didn't have a bad line at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, any, the other thing is, I know they all go to the same Ponderosa. It's just the jury is in a separate area, and they're not allowed to mingle with the pre-jury people that are kicked out. So they all go to roughly the same place. So Michaela right now is in Ponderosa with Figgy.
That's pretty great.
And I would love to see their interactions together.
Yeah, I'm sure that now that they have 20 days together, they're going to be fine. And there's no stress of the game or any of that. They'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it'll be fine. I would love the, cause this is literally 2 days after Michaela said, if you can't figure it out, you deserve to be voted out.
Yeah.
Well, Michaela, if you couldn't figure it out, what the fuck are you doing here?
Well, no. That's not really a matter of she couldn't figure it out. Her matter was she figured it out too soon and was a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have the discussion as we get there.
Should I even say the name of this episode and what you're listening to now?
Let's do it.
Because by now, you know. And also, somebody didn't write down what the name of this episode was. It still says episode 6, The Truth Works Well. I think this one was called, I'm Gonna Get Ya.
I Will Destroy You.
No, it's called, I Will Destroy You!
Yeah!
Yeah. I guess I will say the name, just for formality's sake.
Yeah.
This is Outwit, Outplay, Outcast, a Survivor podcast on the Night of the Living Geeks Network. We're going to talk about Millennials vs. Gen X. Episode 7, what did we say it was called again? I Will Destroy You. Yeah, I forgot. Someone did not write it down. Which,
why,
I mean, I guess
I
could have.
It's always my job.
No, I did it the last
time. Brian should have done it. Brian's not here, so we'll blame him. He fucked up and didn't fix it in the notes.
Yeah, but he put his notes in super early for a change, which is really useful.
Which is why I also think it should be his fault, because he was in the document first. I mean, he had the most time to make the change.
I would say I would blame him, except that he's not listening to this, so it doesn't matter.
That's true. He's never going to listen to this.
Sorry, I don't listen to it either. That's because I have to listen to it while I'm editing. We've gone over this before. I can only listen to my own voice so many times.
Oh, I love the sound of my own voice.
Yeah, yours is actually pretty good. Not mine. All right. Well, anyway, so after Figgy and Taylor get broken up, this one begins, as so many have so far this season, right after Tribal Council, and they want to do a post-mortem right then and there. This time, for novelty's sake, it's Taylor who's doing the initiating. And then Adam sits him down and says, yeah, I did it. I screwed you over, and it sucks, and I got rid of your best friend. And honestly, this gave me I don't want to say chills, but it gave me serious nostalgia for Todd back in China. Because that was his final jury argument was, hello, everyone on the jury. I voted you out. You're there because I'm better than you. And the way Adam was humble about it, but also at the same time insistent in reminding Taylor that, yeah, I'm the one who did this, was just brilliant. That's how you get someone's vote.
Yeah, I feel like it was also a little bit of like kicking your horse while it's down, because Adam just kept saying it different ways over and over.
Yeah,
because we saw him say at least three ways. I'm the one who did that. I know I fucked you over. I know you're screwed. I know it hurt you. I know it's all my fault. I know. I did that, Taylor. It's like you can lay off a little bit. Like I see what you're doing, and I like it, but you can back off a little bit.
I kind of wanted Adam to just grab Taylor by the shoulders, stare him deeply in the eye, and just say, "I did it. I did it." And then
I was half expecting it to like the next line to be, "Okay, you get one free punch."
I was expecting it to end with a Fredo kiss, but unfortunately, it didn't. But yeah, I mean, I think that was pretty much the only thing that happened. No. I'm sorry, I take it back. Because before the reward challenge, we get treated to a scene from each camp, which was kind of nice. And we had... Shoot, I always forget the name of their tribe. Thank God they're going to be merging soon, so I only have to remember one one tribe name. But it was Taylor, Ken, and Jessica, and they were all kind of just That's together.
Tikali,
thank you. So the Tikali tribe, the three of them were, you know, just standing around chatting, and Ken is talking to Taylor mainly about like why his vote matters. And in fairness to Taylor, this was filmed like a year ago now, so he had no idea who was running for president then. And he said, "Why do I care who's running for president? Well, in about 6 days, we're going to be voting." So I feel like that might have been kind of poorly timed on CBS's part to leave that in there.
Yes, and no. I mean, the whole, you've ranted before, and I don't remember if you put it in the show or not, about how kids these days, every new generation of voters complains about the Electoral College.
Yeah.
It's a complaint that comes up every 4 years.
Yeah. I have done that.
Here's Taylor making that complaint. And I think it is something that makes a lot of people roll their eyes, but we've mentioned before, there's so many young people, there's so much youth on this season. It's a definite grab, especially with the name. It's a definite grab for CBS to get young viewers.
Yeah.
And
don't worry, I won't.
That's what they're talking about.
Yeah. And don't worry, I won't do my poli-sci thing again. There's enough of that. But it is frustrating, to me at least, when people who don't know anything about something complain about that something. It's like what Europeans feel whenever Americans go, "Oh, soccer. It's so slow. They should speed it up some." It's like, this is a game that's popular all over the world, and we know nothing. Americans are like, "Oh, it's so dumb." And so I get that level of frustration where it's like, no.
Yeah, we're not even the ones who came up with better soccer. The Canadians came up with better soccer. They put it on ice and gave you sticks and pucks.
Speaking of which, we are
Canadians made it better.
Currently missing the Sharks game, and what's his name? Brian is awful bad luck, and he is banned from going to games ever again.
Yeah,
the Sharks are in town.
After that discussion they had, though, when Jessica was like, "Oh my God, he's actually just an idiot."
Yeah.
Jessica has a line or two that really, really concerns me, because she talks about how Taylor seems dumb and that she can trust that, and she can't trust Adam because he's strategic. And I hate the idea that you cannot trust Adam because he's strategic and smart, and therefore that automatically means he's going to be a liar. But you can trust Taylor because he's dumb, and that somehow makes him reliable and or more trustworthy, as if you can manipulate him easier. Whether or not that's real world true, that is so not true on Survivor, because idiots make dumb mistakes all the time that are liabilities for you.
Well, especially
strategic people can be trustworthy and reliable. If you're trustworthy, like, it's just not a true statement either way.
Well, no, I'm playing devil's advocate for Jessica here. It makes some sense, because what she's looking at it from a, she's maybe not explaining it properly, but there's reasons to keep each one around. Like, Adam, I'm sorry, the reason not to trust Adam is that because he's a strategic thinker, he complicates your game. Like, you could approach him, and if you are in a good strategic position, you can make a deal with him, because he's pragmatic. And then, on the other hand, you have Taylor, who's dumb, so you can pretty much guess what he's going to try and do, and if he tries to do something sneaky, he's not going to pull it off very well, because you're smarter than he is. And so why, in that case, you know, keep the one that you can outsmart.
Yeah, and I think the other devil's advocate, the thing that I can say here for Jessica, is just Adam probably has a plan that's a couple days out, right? Like, Adam probably has a post-merge plan. Adam probably has a plan for how he wants to stab certain people in the back. He probably has these plans. And if Jessica wants to do something, even if they're in alliance, Jessica wants to do something that messes with those plans, that's going to make Adam question whether or not Jessica's worth keeping around, and vice versa. Whereas you can probably bet Taylor's not planning beyond this tribal.
Yeah. Also,
and that makes it like there's a lot less opportunity for friction there.
There's also the idea that strategic players are more likely to switch sides, and dumb players are more likely to just stick with you. So she trusts Brett because they have that connection. These other two she doesn't quite trust, and if you don't trust either of them, at least stick with the one who's dumb.
Yeah.
Because maybe he'll stick with you because he is dumb.
Yeah, I'm hesitant because it's a blanket statement, and I don't know if I like the way that she's thinking there. Because I would not trust Taylor at all, especially post-merge, because Taylor's going to fold right back in with the remnants of the Triforce Millennials, and Jessica ain't going to slide in there with him. It's going to be iffy.
That might be her strategy, but you know, we'll see how it plays out next week. The other two scenes that we got, one, unfortunately, is online only. Go on YouTube and look it up, because it is bizarre and weird. Everyone on
Vanua,
thank you. I'll take a 50-50 shot, and I still got it wrong. Everyone on Vanua is just kind of chilling in the shoals in the water, and just talking, relaxing, whatever. And Zeke asks, "Hey, tell us a story from history," which is a really weirdly worded sentence if you think about it. Tell me a history story. But then, to make it even weirder, Michelle starts talking about how there's a conspiracy to omit dragons from our history books.
And she really does pretty much make that argument. And then it rolls right into Chris, like, mocking her and kind of saying, like, you know, Michelle's a weird one. You kind of want to keep her around because you don't know what she's thinking, and it's kind of fun. But then he also says, he says something along the lines of, you never know if she's going to run across, like, a stick on the ground and consider it a sign from God and change everything drastically.
Yeah, it's... And see, that's another... You're saying you can't trust Taylor because he's dumb, you can't trust Adam because he's smart. Well, you can't trust Michelle because she's in Michelle land. Yeah. I don't know. Well, okay, that may not entirely be fair. She might, like, I know a guy who believes some crazy ass stuff. And then again, I wouldn't really trust him in a game like this either. You know, and this is a side note, but before Halloween, I was listening to a thing about ghosts, and so I idly asked our friends online, have any of you ever seen a ghost? And you'd be amazed how many of our mutual friends and other people that I know said, yeah, I have seen a ghost. So, her believing in dragons, it's not entirely... I don't mean to sound like I'm judging anyone for what they've seen or what they believe,
I mean, a contextual, historical, and literary analysis, you can say there's an interesting... there's an interesting thing about humanity that there's this idea of a dragon that seems to permeate across cultures and in time frames when you don't think that they would, right? Like, you can have an interesting conversation about that, but that I don't think immediately translates into that means I'm going to believe in dragons.
Yeah. Also, I would like Zeke to know it's not 600 years ago that there were dragons or that Marco Polo happened. It was like 700. It was 12 or 13 something. Come on, man.
Go kick it still after Christ.
Learn. Yeah. So the other scene that we get here is we find out that this entire time Brett's been lying to everyone about his job.
Yeah.
And not doing a very good job of it. I can get why he would lie about being a cop. Cops aren't exactly well beloved right now compared to how they were like 10 years ago. And so, yeah, maybe it was a good idea to not tell folks that he's a cop. What he did instead, though, was he told me he was a funeral director.
Yeah. And I mean, and Brian has in the notes, he says earlier in the season, Jay says power couples never do well. And then he cites Robin Amber winning. And then he says this episode, Brett says cops never do well, except Tony won and he was a cop. And some cops do reasonably well for quite a while. The old guy that got medevaced was a FBI person. Yeah. What the hell was his name?
Joe. Joe, yes. Here's the thing, though. Okay, power couple, Rob and Amber did well and they won. And then all the other power couples did not.
Yeah, because once it happens, you don't want it to happen again.
Yeah,
and you see it as a possibility.
Cops do well, but usually because they suck at the game. And yeah. So people are like, oh, I can take this person along. But they don't win. And anytime you have a cop who actually is kind of good at the game, they get voted out. He's not entirely wrong. And
see, but they get voted out because of what cops are normally like, not because they're a cop. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's because the personality of the cop, not because people are like, oh, I got to vote out this guy because he happens to be a cop. But Brian says, I'm half expecting somebody to say next week that nerdy people never win. But nobody's going to say that.
Yeah.
Cochran is too recent of memory.
Yeah. And the other thing is, it's not even a stereotype that cops behave in a certain way, because every single person on that tribe thought, hey, you know what? I think he's a cop.
Dude, and how is it Hannah that picks that up first?
She has watched television, and Brett is just your stereotypical Boston cop.
Right, but okay. Like, Brian in the notes says that he completely believes Jay being able to smell pork.
Oh, yeah, because right? Jay's running a from dude. Cops on the beach and, yeah, Jay's a guy that gets good and stoned all the time. He has to avoid the cops.
Yeah. Jay, I would believe, but Jay's not the one who sniffed it out first. It was Hannah. And I was equally like, really, Hannah, you're going to be like confidently saying that you think he's a cop? Like, you. It's absolutely not the person I would expect that line to come from.
Well, Hannah, she definitely has some unreturned library books. So she walks on the wild side as well. Yeah. All right. Well,
parking ticket.
Yeah, parking ticket. She's been pulled over once and said, I don't know where I'm going with that one. So, yes. I don't know. Whatever. So let's go to the reward challenge, because at least I know what to talk about there.
Yeah.
I don't know. This was another weird one. And once again, I'm going to write Ikabula? Vanua. There we go. I got the right answer this time because I wrote it down. Yeah. Vanua won, which is pretty amazing because they were so far behind for so long.
Yeah.
You gonna just leave it at that? Good job. Okay, great.
I mean, I there's not much more to say about these physical challenges. Ikabula is the one when it's purely physical, you almost expect them to win. Of course, there's one that they lose here, but they're so physically strong. And then Vanua is going to win because Chris is a monster.
Yeah. Was Chris? Yeah, he was doing their basketball thing at the end as well. I would describe the challenge, but if you're listening to this, you've seen the episode, so you know what's going on. That last bit, though, seemed really, really hard.
Like, the putting it up between the like balancing beam thing?
Yeah, that was really difficult. So I'm kind of surprised anyone was able to do it, or kind of wonder how much editing they had to do to get rid of downtime. But yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so Vanua wins a full barbecue cookout. Ikabula wins some kebabs.
Kebabs.
Yeah, largely on the strength of Michaela. She really basically just bullied. I don't want to say bullied. That's a very loaded term. Bull rushed. She bull rushed her way through this challenge and did a real good job of it. Unfortunately for them, it was just a little bit too late.
Which, and I didn't put in here, but there's a scene at the beginning that I really liked with Michaela where Brett says that he's going to sit out, and Michaela, like, They don't even show it. It's just between like shots of them spanning across the tribe. Michaela like gives them like a little smack, like, "Ah, it's okay, next time, buddy." And then they pan away and they come back like a second later, and Hannah is doing that to Michelle, but in a really cute, funny, mocking way, like shaking her almost. It's like it's this little interaction that was off to the side that you wouldn't notice otherwise.
There's been Michaela has had some really good background stuff foreground stuff, such as when the tribes arrive and she realizes that Figgy got voted out, and she's just like doesn't even blink, just goes, "Ah, you know what, sometimes you say what you want to say, sometimes you say what you have to say," because what she had really wanted to say was get the hell out of here, get rid of her, and then bye Felicia. It's like, oh man, I'm gonna miss
everybody knew why she was helping the one tribe last week and not the other, and now it's just confirmed.
Yeah, it was a wonderful scene. The barbecue that they got to have was real good.
Blazing Saddles.
Oh yeah, that I felt real bad for Michelle in that, because sorry, I'm thinking of all the farts, because farts are funny, but still, like she was just sitting there eating rather daintily with her knife and fork, and all these other guys are just kind of like strapping on a feed bag and rah, 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 going all Cookie Monster on this stuff. So not only does she have to deal with their horrible eating habits, but then when they're done, everyone's like,
yeah,
and it's just like, oh my god.
Yeah, I'm with Zeke. Like, when I'm hungry, I will eat very quickly and messily.
Yeah.
And I'm with him. Like, you gotta pack it in. The food's there. You don't know. Like, Zeke doesn't know when the next food is coming. He's got to put on these calories so that he can have the energy. Like, that's how Survivor works. And if you have the stomach for it, do it. But on the flip side, I'm also a little bit with Michelle. Like, I don't think it's – I'm one of those old-fashioned guys that believes you should never fart in front of a woman. You know, I hate noise when people eat. I hate noise eaters. Oh,
snapping your mouth closed. Yeah, no, that's the worst.
Yeah, like I – so I'm torn here because I'm with both of them. I'm like – part of me is like, you feast when it comes, but if you got to fart, just like go around the corner to another tree. Like, just – pretend to be decent. Don't just like sit there and fart in front of everyone.
And especially when they're like, "Oh, just let it out. There's room for more food."
Yeah, like, God, Zeke.
See, I just figure, you know, you eat that much and you're going to get sick. We saw that with Steven in Second Chances. He ate so much that he got himself sick. And we've seen it a couple other times. I think in not Guatemala. What was the one? I don't know. There were a bunch of idiots I didn't like, and they decided to go out Scarface style. I don't remember the season exactly.
Yeah, but Zeke brings up the point that Zeke used to be a fat kid, and Zeke has the stomach still. And, you know, Zeke's not big by any means, but he's got a little tummy on him, and he's built to have a big meal.
Yeah, and also
there's no way to say that kindly, but
and let's keep in mind they're 20 days into this thing by now, so they have room to eat. They're fine. Mm-hmm. And he has another 20 days ahead of him, so he's going to burn off those calories. It's not a big deal. Yeah. All right. Well,
that gets us to menu, because the every tribe little peek-in was after the reward.
Yeah, I did that a little bit wrong. We already
covered all that.
Whoopsies!
Whatever.
We are goddamn professionals. I'm going to edit it in such a way as to have... That's not going to happen.
Sure. Okay. Have fun.
No. I'm gonna do what I usually do, which is hit play, start doing my Galactic War and Galaxy of Heroes, and then when I see something or when I hear something that needs to be taken out, go back and do that. Yeah, so I got that wrong. Whatever. Let's just go into immunity then.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the challenge was. Don't know. Oh yeah, it was basketball with coconuts, and then it was slingshot. At the end. Well, there was a bit between. Oh yeah, there was a bit with a chest between it, which again these challenges have gotten very, very modular, because these are actually things that we've seen in the past in different iterations, and now they're just appending them in different directions. Appending them in different orders. But this one was an interesting one because, again, Michelle is just bullying her way through it and doing a very, very good job of it.
You mean Michaela?
Shit, yeah. I'm going to be... All right. I love Michaela so hard, but I'm telling you right now, I am not going to miss her being gone from the standpoint of having to remember names.
The fewer people there are, the better the host you become.
Yeah, there's already Sunday and Jessica that I've just about figured out. But yeah, Michaela and Michelle, just, I got their names all the time. Because Michelle was the opposite. Michelle was the one who could not figure out the puzzle, even though it was as simple as, here are three numbers, three two-digit numbers. They are the combinations for the chest. They're in some order. There's only six.
Yeah.
Like there's only six possible combinations. And I get if you get a little bit flustered, it can be hard to remember, have I tried this one before? But it should not have taken her anywhere near as long as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the other thing to point out about Michelle, and now maybe you'll remember it because I'm a little unclear. I know Jay was asking, hey, do you want to sub out while she was doing the slingshot? And I recall, like, she said no. But then I recall after a little bit, I feel like she did sub out, and I want to say Brett took over.
What happened was the people you thought would take over took over to start, but they found out real soon that slingshot takes a lot of strength to pull back, and they have to cycle out. So all the tribes ended up cycling a little bit. Like, you saw David landed one for Vanua. I think David landed one. But David at least took a shot, which you wouldn't think would happen. So what happened was, for Ikabula, Michaela goes up there, but I think she gets up to the slingshot and realizes she forgot the ball. So then she goes back, and as she's going back, Brett goes up. And then Brett gets confused, and they start to go back and forth, and Michaela's like, you got to make a decision and stick with it.
That's what that was.
She stays back down, and Brett goes up. Like, she basically says, no, you're up there, go up.
Okay,
don't waste the time.
Okay, because I saw her start it, and I thought I saw them trade out, but then I know she ends it. She's the one with her hand on the slingshot at the end of the game when they lose.
Yeah.
So Brett takes a couple
shots, and then he cycles out, and then Michaela goes in, and she's the one who's missing a couple, and that's when Jay says, do you want to switch out? And she's like, no, I got this. And he's like, tired.
That was about the point where I thought, uh-oh, there's a chance she's going home. The way this episode has been edited, the way it's being cut together, if they lose, I think she might be the one to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to mention about this, David, this is two challenges in a row where he's been useful.
Yeah.
He's actually been pretty okay this time around, and he hasn't been a little, you know, hasn't been too crazy. Oh, we forgot to mention that he and Zeke, he's trying to bond with Zeke now, and he shows him that he has an idol.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a real short moment, and, you know, not too much came of it yet. We'll see how it plays out in the future, but if Zeke knows, then that means Chris is going to know fairly soon. So that's a three-person.
I don't know about that, because Zeke is, I think Zeke wants to work with Chris as much as he can, but I think Zeke is too smart of a player. I think Zeke is more committed to Survivor than he is to that idol.
No, Zeke isn't dumb, but I could easily see him, like, if somebody, especially now that they're getting to merge, if Chris's name comes up, I could easily see him trying to talk to David and say, hey, and then he could say to Chris, I'm going to talk to David. I think he has an idol or something along those lines. And so it might spread out from there. Like, I don't see him blurting it out or trying to use it as a bludgeon, but I could see him just kind of like thinking, oh, Chris won't tell anyone, and then it getting out from there.
Yeah. But yeah, that's true.
It is not relevant here yet because his tribe won. Ikabula is the loser. Thank you.
This is the first and will be the only challenge they lost since that tribe was formed.
Which is pretty impressive. They won. Yeah,
and they get back after losing, and it's just utter silence.
Yeah. Oh, that was slightly depressing and moving, actually, to be honest with you.
It was beautiful editing.
Yeah. They were just all, like, they all had 1,000-yard stares, like they had just cycled out of the trenches of the Somme. It was a good moment. But then, you know, they start plotting and planning, and initially it looks like Brett's going to go because nobody trusts him because he's lying about being a funeral director.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I'm starting to get scared. I don't think Brett's a very good player because he would have been gone except for, you know, Divine Providence decided to select Michaela.
Well, so here's when the scramble after they do that, and they all talk about Brett, and everybody on the Millennials has decided it's Brett, and Brett and Sunday have committed themselves to the fate of voting for each other, right? And this is when I got worried. When Michaela got all the Millennials on the beach and busted out the rocks and the shells, because dumb people are intimidated by smart people, and most of the other people on her tribe are dumb. Hannah might be book smart, but she is not picking up on this game while she's out there. I like Hannah. I like her personality. I think I would like her as a person, but as a player, she's not doing so great. So everybody knows the plan, Everybody's going to go with the plan. You're fine for tribal. Like, there's no reason for Michaela to be laying out rocks and shells and laying out a multi-week plan. That does nothing but scare people. And there's no need for it. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, shit.
Yeah.
I did. At that point, I was like, I don't know if that's bad now, but that's bad real soon. You don't do that, Michaela.
I will stick up for my girl, Hannah, though. Part of the reason she's not doing so well is people are deliberately lying to her because they know they can't tell her the truth because she'll panic. Like, that was what Jay and... Jay and Brett? Were they the two talking?
Jay and Will?
It was Jay and Will, you're right. Jay and Will, when they come up with this plan to get rid of...
They are tight.
Yeah. When they come up with the plan to get rid of Michaela, they say, should we tell... Sorry, I lost my train of thought when you were saying that. They were saying, should we tell Hannah? And they decided no, because if we do, she's going to panic. And she's going to have, it's going to be real weird. So we may as well just not tell her and surprise her. And then we can just tell her afterwards. Apparently, that's not going to work so well. And judging from the episode preview for the next episode, I really want to see where she goes from here. I hope she goes on a rip-roaring tale of revenge, but realistically, I think she's going to be maybe fourth or fifth place. I don't see her going to the end.
Yeah, we'll see, because we're going to talk later on about the alliances that are there post-merge. But, yeah, and I mean, but that's what I mean. You have to, even if you have the personality of being reactionary, you have to put some kind of faith in your alliance members that you will keep your shit together. And they don't have faith in her. And I mean, that's just her personality, and I don't know how much she can change that, but that reflects part of her game.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm liking her.
As a person, I'm just not sure about.
Oh, no, I'm liking her to advance. As I said, I don't particularly like her to win, but I like her to advance.
Well, I liked Michaela to win, and here's what happened.
Yeah, she was an early pick on my part. Poor woman. So the Tribal Council itself is pretty simple. It was pretty obvious to me, at least, that Michaela was going to be going. She was just, you know, her A-type personality. She took over that thing and seemed way too confident that Brett or Sonny was going to be going, and then saying, you know, even saying things like, you know, it's not my decision, that sort of thing. Like, she's already playing to a jury that's not yet existent.
Uh-huh. And I will say, Michaela throughout the thing talked about trust, and throughout a lot of her interviews before and now after she's been on the show are also all about trust. And I just get the sense that she is a very trustful, trustworthy, straight person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she's not somebody who would have anybody who lies or plays games in her personal life. So I think we like her for a lot of reasons, but I think this is the big problem with her game, is she's not good at this social, detecting liars, feeling out that kind of stuff. And I think it's reflected by the fact that Jay and Will correctly identify that they are her only alliance.
Yeah.
By this point in the game, you should have some other friends, especially if you're on the biggest of the three tribes.
Well, she had Hannah. Hannah's reaction to that was so extreme that you know that they were friends. And those little moments that you mentioned at the reward challenge. Oh, shit. What was the thing I was going to say? What were you talking about just now? You talking I remember what it was. I remember what it was. Well, I was going to say that she has a confidence and a leadership capability that in the real world will serve her really, really well. Like, she's going to go real far with that attitude of, I'll make my money some other way, and the hardships that she faced in life. But in the game, that left her vulnerable. Like, there are certain life skills that don't translate very well to Survivor. And that's one of them. Like, you want to have that for your real, real life, but you also want to be able to compartmentalize that so that people don't think you're a threat. And that,
yeah, people say cops don't do well. People say power couples don't do well. Leaders never do well on Survivor, because being a leader just paints a bigger target on your back.
Yeah. The only leader that I can even think of who won was Rob. Like, Oh, no, I'm sorry. He came in second place, technically. Amber won.
Mm-hmm.
But it, really, I mean, come on. They were married, so they both won. but yeah, he's the only one that I can think of that won. All other... Oh, Yule. Yule also won. But then, at the same time, he had Ozzy as a smokescreen.
Yeah, and it's tough. And you can't... If you're going to be that leader, you also have to be a leader who's willing to backstab or play other people. And Michaela is not... Like, you gotta either be backstabby and a leader or not a leader and honest. And Michaela's an honest leader, which just is, it's double bad.
Yeah.
In this game.
Again, great in real life, not so great in game life. Yep. But she had the last, well, I wouldn't say she had the last laugh, but she had probably the best exit that I've ever seen.
I gotta say, it's not just the exit. I like that whole interaction. I hate that she's gone. But the reaction is the overreaction that you would expect, and then the death stare that she gives.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, oh my God.
She expected to see her name once, but when the second one came up, she knew what was happening, and she was just like, how dare you?
Yeah, you would expect Brett or Sunday to randomly write her name down, but if they both write her name down, then that means they were talking to somebody, right? So even if it's just two, Brett and Sunday aren't going to both write down Michaela's name unless they think it'll get them somewhere. So that means she knew the third one was coming, and then she knew she was gone from there.
It was so magical and so sudden that she forgot to bring her shoes, had to go back and get them, and then give another parting shot as she walked away for the second time.
You know, and I actually, I don't normally do this, but I liked Michaela so much. I went and read exit interviews that she did, and apparently they cut that down because she had forgot, like, first she got up and left,
but
she had forgotten her torch. So Jeff was like, you need to get your torch. So then she went back and grabbed a torch, and then she realized she forgot her bag. So she went and grabbed her bag, but then she realized she didn't have her shoes. So she went she went back and forth like four times.
Oh my God. She must have been an absolute shock.
She was so not there and just not prepared at all for the possibility of her leaving that she didn't even think about getting her shit together. And I don't mean like emotionally getting her shit together.
Right. Like her actual physical property shit. Yeah. Oh, that's hysterical. No, I didn't know that. Oh, that's great. Because, I don't really read the exit interviews either. I did it a couple of times, and I realized I'm not really learning anything new with these.
And it tends to be the same stuff you would expect.
Yeah.
Same things that everybody says. But aside from the death stare, What I love also, and I'm really pissed I didn't pick him up last week, is Jay's stone cold face.
Yeah.
Yep. I did it. Just stone. Yep. I did. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That. Oh.
She has the eyes of a killer.
I don't know how to take that. Like, that's cojones bigger than I have, Jay. So good on you.
Yeah.
I would have broken under that stare. But he's just like, yep, I did. And I don't know if that's just instinctual, like I'm going to hold my line, or I made this move and I'm going to own it. I don't know. I don't know where that comes from for Jay, because that doesn't seem like his normal personality at all.
Yeah.
But man,
he's a bit more of a strategic thinker than we thought originally. He was clearly the brains of the Triforce Alliance, now the Biforce Alliance.
Yeah. Well, we all knew Figgy and Tails weren't going to be in the brains.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. All right. Looks like you have a lot that you are. Oh, no, that is you. You're purple. You have a lot to say about.
Wait. Put that back for a second. Just Command Z. There you go. So
Command. I don't use an Apple.
Okay. Whatever. So the other one I would bring up is I mentioned before that I was pissed that we won't get Ponderosa, but in her exit interview, she does say two things, right? She says about Will and Jay. This is funny. She says it was a smart move short term because she's stronger than them. And she says, I think faster than the both of them put together times seven, which is probably true. But her analysis that I like is that by doing this move, Jay and Will have isolated themselves from their fellow millennials, right? And by turning on Michaela, who is one of the trustworthy millennials and was well-liked by all of the rest of them. So she's saying, if you were going to, after the merge, come back together, if Will and Jay were going to come back together with the other millennials, this is a bad move that shows that they are not trustworthy. Whereas the other times that the millennials looks like they have turned on each other are moves that you could have predicted or foreseen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they weren't necessarily allies when there was millennials versus Gen X strictly in terms of the tribes.
It's allies of convenience, not real alliances.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how I feel about that analysis, but it is interesting because the idea that they have turned on and they have paired up as an obvious power couple at this point too. So that makes them that paints a target on their back by saying we are together. We made this move together. So yeah, I don't know about that long term. It feels like a smart move right now because Michaela's right. She's an obvious threat. And you want her gone before the merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want her when she's an individual threat. When it's a team game, you need her strength and her intelligence, but otherwise it's a liability, well, not a liability, it's an obstacle that you have to overcome in individual immunities.
Yeah.
Okay, so now is where you have a shit ton of notes.
Well, I want to take a minute to talk with you, Nick, about, we know the merge is next week now, Brian has in here that, you know, the people are saying, oh, millennials have the numbers. And Brian also rightly puts in the notes that the last three tribal councils should show you that doesn't mean shit. The millennials are perfectly willing to turn on each other. So we should, I think, look at what the alliances are going to look like post-merge. So I have three alliances and some leftovers. So I see one of the core alliances as Ken, Jessica, David, and Zeke. We'll call them the Misfits. Ken, Jessica, David are a tight trio. They have been. And David pulls in Zeke with the idol. And maybe that pulls in Chris from Zeke. And maybe Ken pulls in Adam. And that might be six. On the other side, you have the Shattered Triforce.
The Biforce.
The Biforce, yeah. You have Taylor, Will and Jay, and Michelle. Michelle, because she was part of the original Triforce with Figgy and Tails, even though I had Figgy, Tails, and Jay. I don't know how that works. But there's a possibility they rope in Brett and Sunday as well from this last tribal. Maybe they've discovered that they can work together. I don't know.
I don't feel so good about that happening. Yeah,
I don't feel good about that one either. But it's a possibility. At least they've shown that they can work together. And the last alliance, which I think is by far the weakest of the three, is the Gen X holdouts, Brett, Sunday, and Chris. I think Chris falls more in line with Brett and Sunday than he would with either of these other two alliances. And that leaves kind of Adam and Hannah on the outs a bit. I think Adam falls in best with the Misfits, with Ken, Jessica, David, and Zeke. But Hannah, I don't know who Hannah fits with now, because she's not going to go with the Biforce. And she doesn't have as many easy ins with the Misfits, because the Misfits are mostly Gen Xers at this point. So it'll be interesting where she falls at.
I could see her and Adam forming a bond. Maybe her and Zeke as well. For some reason, yeah. I know. Actually, no, not for some reason. I also feel like she and David would get along because they have the same general personality. Overanalyze, strategic thinking, and they're both Jewish. Mm-hmm. Well, wait, David Wright? No, we are kind of supposing on that.
Yeah, he's a Hollywood writer. So
I want him to be. I should point out, I want him to be Jewish. I'm a big fan of the Jewish people. This is pro-Semitic, very, very pro-Semitic, not anti-Semitic.
It's always a good episode when you have to make sure everybody understands that.
Look, I'm just saying, all I'm saying is Hitler had some good ideas is all.
God, please edit that. I know you won't.
Because A, number one, anyone listening to this knows we're not serious. And B, number two, the fact that you said, please edit that, indicates if I edited it, it would be real because I'd be trying to hide it. No, I don't care. But anyway, point being, though, I could see David and Hannah working together. Hannah, though, you are right. She does seem a little bit isolated. But she gets along. It's mainly she's isolated because the people she's gotten along with have been voted out. The thing is, she herself has not been voted out. No one has cast a vote for her yet. So I could see her getting through this if she can make some new friends. And yeah. I think she can do that.
And the way it's structured, there's three or four people, depending on how you structure it, per alliance here. So they're going to be looking for swing votes if these alliances don't group together to get out a common enemy. So Hannah on her rampage might be able to make something happen. And I think you're right. She's in a good position because she's obviously the weak, vulnerable one. She's the easy out. And after the merge, you keep the easy out as long as you can. Because Hannah's not going to win a challenge. You can get her out whenever. Keep her around. She's a possible vote for you.
She might win a puzzle or something.
Yeah, puzzle. Maybe a balance thing. Yeah. Who knows?
I was forgetting. Oh, if Courtney can win a challenge, Hannah can win a challenge. Courtney from China. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
My go-to for everything. yeah, so I give her slightly better odds.
So here's, and then if this is the way we look at them, the nightmare scenario is a supermajority, right? If Ken, Jessica, David, and Zeke, the Misfit Alliance, manage to bring in Chris and Adam, which is reasonable. Adam, because he's teamed up with Ken and Jessica before, and Ken has, you know, sworn an oath of allegiance or whatever, and Chris comes in via Zeke. That gives them an easy majority to kind of take out whoever they want. And then from there, you can also see Sonny and Brett joining up, because this is all the other Gen Xers are in this. So then you could make it Gen X versus Millennials, but have a couple Millennials on your side enough to give you a majority, even more so. And then that's already, what is that, an 8?
Yeah.
8 of the 13. So now if you pull in Hannah, who's pissed off and wants something to happen, if you can pull in Hannah some way, then you have 9 of the 13, which means you have a super... You can... At that point, you have what I'm calling a supermajority. You have 9 of the 13. You can easily split the vote 5-4 and have no fear of repercussion whatsoever. You can vote out whoever you want.
2 idols.
Yeah. That's what it would take.
It's happened before.
But 2 of the idols aren't in that alliance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I was barely paying attention when you were... I mean, I get what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. But when you were listing names, I was just like, yes? I was trying to picture it in my head. And I'm like, oh, now I'm missing the names. No, but I get what you're saying in general.
Yeah. This is the nightmare scenario that Michaela is talking about, with Jay and Will isolating themselves as part of the Bi-Force. So it's just Taylor, Will, Jay, and Michelle out on a limb on their own. Then they just get picked off one after the other.
Yes.
So I think they're the ones that really have to work here, because it is the 4 of them, and sure, they're tight, but that just makes them a target, I think, especially because 2 of them? I don't know. I don't know how is Taylor doing challenges? I don't know. But Michelle is an easy out, and they haven't made ties outside of their core group, right? Taylor hasn't made ties, Will, Jay, Michelle. They've all stuck with their core group. Even though Michelle's on a tribe with nobody from her core group, I think that's where her strongest allegiance still is.
It's been a very strong click.
Yeah, and that's not gonna win you through.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Well said. Well said. That was a lot of purple text.
Yes.
All right. Oops. Uh-oh. I seem to have messed something up. Let me undo that. There we go. So we should move along to fantasy so that I can go to bed at a reasonable hour.
Yay, time.
Yay, sleeping. Oh my god, I love sleeping so much. Did we have any bets go through? Nope. Oh, yeah, we made one, but we didn't list it that Jay would use his idol correctly. In that case, yeah, go to teams. You do the teams. I've been talking too much.
Oh, wait, I give myself points for Michaela.
You fucking cheater. I didn't notice because...
Fuck, I'm tied with Brian? How the fuck did that happen? Okay.
Oh, because I'm better than you.
Shut up. No, you're not. I have twice as many championships as you do.
Wait, I got Jay?
I've won this twice as many times as you. Yeah, you got Jay last week.
I didn't realize I got Jay last week. I thought I was going to pick him up. I was going to hopefully pick him up at, like, dropping Brett to get him. I forgot that I had done that already. No, so yeah, I have all 3 idols.
Last week we were tied at 70.
Fuck, why are we even doing this?
Because I didn't want to drop someone.
Why are we even playing the rest of this season? I'm 1.
Having an idol doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get you the most points.
Sure.
I had no idols last season, like, the entire time, and I won.
Yeah,
and the time before that, but the time before that was because I had Joe. Anyway, so Brian's in last place. He had 63, but because he has the 3 Vanuas who won both challenges, he gets 5 points from each, bringing him up to 78. Nick and I were tied. I had 70. I had Ken, Michaela, and Jessica. I get 4 from Ken and 4 from Jessica because they both were on Takali, which won one of the challenges. And I got a fat 0 from Michaela, which as if it wasn't a stab in my heart enough already. So I only have 78. And Nick had 70, but he gets 4 from Jay, 5 from Adam, and he gets 4 from Jay, 5 from David, and 4 from Adam, bringing him up to 83. So now I am down in the dregs with Brian. Okay,
you know,
so I
well, you know what really sucks about all that? We were like, Brian, what are you doing having all three people on the same tribe? That's so risky. And it really is, but it worked.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row now, it's paid off for him.
High risk, high reward. Damn it.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, so I have Ken, Michaela, and Jessica, and I really want to keep Ken and Jessica because I believe that post-merge they are in the stronger of the alliances. But I got to replace Michaela, and it's tough because the only people left in the pool are Taylor, Brett, Sunday, Hannah, and Will. I kind of want to take Hannah because I know she'll stick around for a while, but she's not going to win me anything, and I need to gain some ground. I need to get some points to differentiate myself. Sunday, likewise, is not going to really – Sunday's an easy out, but she's not going to win anything. Brett kind of has been good in challenges, but not good enough. I think he can win individuals. Which leaves me with Taylor and Will, and I don't believe either of them are really long for this world.
I would pick Hannah. I think she's my tough. She's my underdog.
I'm not going to take Will because Will has checked himself in with Jay, and Jay is not going to have Will's back when it comes down to it. Because Jay is just going to say, "Yep, I did it," and let him die in a fire. I think I'm actually going to take Taylor.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he's going to go exceptionally far, but I think he'll do me all right for a little while.
He might get you a point or two, or he might be the first one gone.
Basically, I have Ken and Jessica, and I don't see anything I like from what's left. I might make some changes after the merge. So yeah, I'll add Taylor.
Cool.
Brian didn't say he wanted to make any changes. He's been messaging us, so I'm going to assume he doesn't. I'm going to assume he's going to sit pat with Michelle, Zeke, and Chris.
Just let him know that if he wants to do something, he'll have to do it before the episode. But otherwise, yeah, it's fine.
And I'm assuming you're not going to make any changes with your three idols.
No! I'm going to change the game from having to winning. That doesn't make any sense linguistically, but I'm going to win, so why would I change anything?
I don't think you're going to win.
Well, of course you don't.
Actually, you might. God damn it,
you have destructive delusions of confidence.
You might.
Yeah. I mean, these are three strong people, so I'm feeling...
Michaela could have made it one more week.
Yeah, God, no, I give you that one.
I was so confident in my team, but now I'm just not.
It would have been worth seeing, too. I would not have minded.
Yeah, you're going to win.
Okay. Cool. All right, well, as I said...
Cool!
Cool! I'll go away, you guys! But we're 56 minutes in. I wonder how short this will be when I get it down. Probably 50-some-odd. 53. So, before we go, is there anything that we've forgotten that you would like to say?
I miss you, Brian.
Of the living poop.